You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. My name is Matt. That is Mark. We are ready to talk some Steelers football and break down the epic disaster that was Steelers versus Buccaneers. What's happening, dude?
It's like everything, Matt. You know, you try not to be too high on the wins. You try not to be too low on the losses. But, I really think this was just a disastrous loss, and I know there are people that are still kind of down from it today, and it is. It's still kind of affecting me, and I think part of it is who we lost to, a team that was 0-3 and had gotten hammered the week before, and I think the part of it, too, is just how it all went down as well. So, you know what, I'm positive. I think we'll bounce back. We should get a good win in Jacksonville. But, man, I just hope this game does not come back to haunt us.
Well, this is what happens when you are a fan of the Steelers. And this is at least the second year in a row. Yep. And I'm pretty sure I'm on point with this, that the Steelers lost to a winless team in September. I'm almost sure it's 2 years in a row now. Maybe I mentally blocked out last year. I'm not really sure. But the fact is regardless of that, the Steelers had no business losing to this team, even if they were, had some extra time to prepare for the game. And, they were kind of a desperate team. I get it. That happened. It's not the first time that, a team that should lose ends up beating a team that they, in theory, shouldn't be. But this is what happens to the Steelers all the time. It's been happening for years. This year is starting out just in a really bad way for this team. There's so many question marks right now. They are, as Tomlin commented after the game and today on his presser, they are just undisciplined in so many ways. There's so many dumb penalties, so many stupid things they're doing. That was one of the points that he talked about on that presser, like I mentioned. Did anything jump out at you during his weekly cliche fest this afternoon?
Well, I think I used that same term. Something did jump out at me, and it got me more motivated than usual to write an article and get it out there. And he talked about the fact that the 3rd and 5 play, which could end up living in infamy here, was his call. He said he directed Todd Haley to do that. It was a play that had produced a 16-yard pass to Heath Miller and a 13-yard run by Le'Veon Bell, and he felt confident that they could get the right look there with it, and he basically put it in the hands of Ben Roethlisberger, and so Ben had the run-pass option, and Tampa was in total man-to-man. They had the one safety deep, about 12 yards off the ball, and then they had the two linebackers, one of which who was locked on Le'Veon Bell. He was going to go wherever Bell went. And Ben made the decision to go with of course, the run. Now, we can blame Ben. We can blame Tomlin. We can blame anybody for that particular thing there. Bottom line is they didn't execute. If you go back and you watch the play, first of all, David DeCastro gets blown up. He gets blown back 3 yards, and immediately that forces Bell to have to go further into the backfield, and he's already going horizontal to the line of scrimmage. And then Cody Wallace doesn't stay on his man long enough. He tries to go the next level. His guy darts through and ends up making the tackle. So when Tomlin had his press conference today, basically, that was on Ben. That was my call, but Ben had the option, and that's what he called. It doesn't matter. If you can't execute, and it goes back to what you opened with, you've got too many penalties. You got too many dumb penalties. You've just got silly mistakes, a complete lack of discipline, and that's on Mike Tomlin. There's no other way about it, Matt.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's what just drives me nuts about this team is, if you listen to the media talk before or after a game, Mike Tomlin, he's a great coach. He's a leader. The players respect him. They love to play for him. He knows what he's doing. He's been there, done that. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's been there, done that. with a team that he and Howard inherited from Cowher that won the Super Bowl, and then he took his team back and they didn't win, and he's been making his mark on this team ever since, and each year they get more and more undisciplined, more and more stupid penalties. Are we not the most penalized team in the league right now? I know we're at least top five. I'm almost thinking,
believe it or not, we're behind San Francisco. We have 44 and they have 46.
Okay, so in any event, it's a ridiculous amount of penalties, you know, and things like the celebration penalties and things like that. I mean, did you – and this just goes back to being undisciplined, and I tweeted about this a couple days ago with respect to Antonio Brown. I mean, yep. The guy is beyond a doubt. If he's not the best receiver in the game right now, he's at least definitely top three. I mean, there's no doubt. The guy's pure talent. Great teammate, great player. He'll go up and grab anything. Love the guy. But I noticed a lot of people, after the game, he tweeted up a couple pics. He put on his Facebook page some pics with his stats and some kind of Antonio Brown highlights. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of fans that were getting on his case, and they were essentially saying, dude, we lost. This is a team game. Who cares about your stats? You know, stop posting up this kind of stuff when your team is losing. And it almost makes me think like that maybe Antonio Brown's getting a little too big for his britches at this point. Maybe that's just me, but that's kind of my thought. Is this dude getting a little full of himself with the stupid dances and the falling down in the end zone and all that dumb stuff? Or is it just maybe me just thinking too much into it?
No, I think there's something to it. There was a comment today from a former player who wouldn't reveal who he was. He's not on the team anymore, but he was a veteran at the time, and he was very concerned about Brown. He said, if this guy becomes what I think he could be, I don't know how long he'll be here because he's all about him. And I guess I didn't ever see it that badly, and you know, doing what he did after the game, if we chastise Maurkice Pouncey for trying to, you know, sell T-shirts, you know, after the Super Bowl 45 loss within minutes, then we got to chastise Antonio Brown for doing this, and we are. You know, I mean, just score the damn touchdown and hand the referee the ball, or do your little dance and then walk off. Don't turn it into a performance or performance art. I mean, you know you're going to get flagged for it. He's been flagged in the past. And I guess ultimately, Matt, that goes back on Mike Tomlin. Because Mike Tomlin said after the first time a year or two ago that he got nailed for this, I'll take care of it. This isn't going to happen again. This isn't the way we do things. Well, obviously Antonio Brown didn't listen. And there's a problem there. And I don't know if this is something that ultimately can be fixed.
Well, and you're right. I mean, you know, before it was him, you know, jumping, up in the stands. It was him doing this kind of stuff in the end zone. And, you know, if you spike the ball, nobody's going to flag you. If you stand up and if you jump up and down and give your teammates a high five, nobody's going to care. But the dumb dances and the running around and the falling down and dropping the ball, he actually had the gall to say he didn't know that was going to be a penalty. I mean, how stupid are you? You know, I mean, or maybe I should say, how stupid do you think we are to believe you that you didn't know that a celebration like that was not going to be a penalty when they throw that flag for a lot less on other players? And, you know, it's just things like that where, you know, you're not exactly lighting up the scoreboard here or the standings. You know, clearly the Bengals are the cream of the AFC North right now. Everybody knows it. Yep. So why are you dancing around and jumping around like an idiot? Why are you getting, post-play penalties of anybody, offense or defense? This team, you're right, it's absolutely undisciplined, and I don't know if Tomlin is actually going to be able to fix it like he says, because all he ever does is talk about it, but how often do we actually see results? I mean, you know, unleashing hell and all the great Tomlin cliches of the standard is the standard and all this crap, it doesn't mean anything because we're coming off 2-8-8 seasons, and right now I see nothing to lead me to believe that we're going to be any better than that at this point. You know, here we are at the end of September.
No, I agree with you. I mean, you nailed it on the head. 8-8 seasons. Standard is the standard. Unleash hell. I mean, have the ping pong tables been taken away yet? I mean, I'm waiting for that announcement any time now. You know, it is. It's become a broken record with Coach Tomlin. I love the guy to death. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. But he's losing the ship. And I guess we could go back. We could point to some things like, you know, this type of thing started happening, you know, about the same time that Arians left and Haley came on board. We can go that direction. We can also talk about, you know, the fact that he just can't seem to get a grip on his guys, and he got real offended this week about the whole players coach question. He intimated that he believes it's racist when a black coach is labeled a player's coach, or he seems to think that all black coaches are labeled that. Well, I got news for him. Bill Cowher was a player's coach. Whether anybody in the Steeler Nation wants to believe that or not, he was. He had his favorites. He had his guys he was going to do stuff for and guys he wasn't, and guys he would let do things and guys he wouldn't. You know, so that kind of irritates me. You know, throw that out the window. I mean, because we've seen Mike Tomlin win as a coach, whether he's a player's coach or not.
Well, you're exactly right, and there's nothing wrong with being a player's coach. I mean, Cowher was absolutely a player's coach. Yep. Every player loved it. They said he was. They liked the fact that he was high-fiving and chest-bumping and spitting on them and, you know, grabbing their face mask and everything after playing, getting fired up. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, Tomlin just thinks that's a bad label, and there's nobody in the league that I think, you know, thinks that being a player's coach is a bad thing. I mean, you know, it's just – Some are and some aren't, and it's all on how you relate to the players. And I mean, I'm with you. I'm so tired of everything, of all the media and everybody saying what a great coach he is, and oh, he's got us to two Super Bowls and all that. But I mean, it's the same song and dance every year. Pittsburgh doesn't stand for losing seasons. Pittsburgh is a run team. Pittsburgh pounds the ball. They're respectful. You know, when you're part of the Steelers, you are a part of a tradition, and blah blah blah. Well, right now we are a tradition of losers. We are a tradition of 8-8 teams, a tradition of team being a team that loses to inferior teams, that plays down to the competition and cannot win the big game, and we have not made the playoffs for 2 years in a row. Well, and it is what it is right now. This is not your Steelers of the 90s or the 70s. Thank God it's not the Steelers of the 80s yet, but you know, right now there's so many question marks. There's, you know, LeBeau and the defense and Tomlin and, you know, Haley and fire Haley. I mean, it's all snowballing, and I don't know when it's going to stop. You know, does one win against Jacksonville all of a sudden make you a playoff team again?
Well, I think it'll get people to back away from the edge of the bridges, you know, over the rivers in the Steel City. I think at least it'll do that. Now, if we go down there and win 17-16, then I think people edge closer to the edge. You know, you hit the nail on the head again when you talked about the fact that this team plays down to the competition. Again, this is another trait of Mike Tomlin over the last 3 to 4 years. You know, I tweeted out today that Oakland had fired Dennis Allen 3 years, and the guy won 8 games. Two of those wins were against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I mean, how on earth does that happen? It should not happen. I don't care if it's in Oakland. I don't care if it's in Pittsburgh. That shouldn't happen. But again, that's another one of these clear signs that goes, it just runs parallel with the stupid penalties, the undisciplined play, the lack of execution. I mean, and somebody has to answer for that. And I don't know who it's going to be. And again, we're a ways away. For all I know, this team will run the next, you know, 12 games. They'll go 14-2, and we won't even be thinking about this. But let's be real. I don't think that's going to happen either. I think this team is going to continue to be up and down. It's going to have to ride the offense. It's going to have to ride Ben Roethlisberger because the defense is giving up as many points as the offense is scoring. And that's not a good combination.
No, it's not. And you're right. This team, at every week, literally, it's up and down. And as soon as they win, you know, the Steeler Nation is back on the bandwagon of, we're going to the playoffs. Everything's great. And as soon as we lose, you know, everybody's jumping off the bridge again. And yep, it's the way it's been. And, you know, I just pretty much expect it now. I was afraid for this game coming in against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. You know, they were a desperate team. They had a lot of time to prepare. Pittsburgh's history of playing down. It was all like kind of the perfect storm and, you know, a recipe for disaster. And that's what it ended up being. And then, you know, Blake Bortles talking this week, or I got, was it today or yesterday, when he said some of the Steelers players shouldn't even be, you know, playing in the NFL, so to speak. I mean, I mean, I think he tweeted it out, or was it Facebook? I honestly saw in passing on Fox Sports, but in the sense he made reference to the Steelers in general and how we're playing right now and how there's people on this roster, be it from injury or otherwise, you know, probably wouldn't be starting in the NFL for other teams except Pittsburgh, but, you know, maybe he's playing with fire. Maybe that's bulletin board for the locker room. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's not lying, number one. I mean, you look at some of the guys in the secondary right now. There's no one that can cover. William Gay, who had a very good year last year, did some nice things on Sunday, but again, got beat on some of these dig routes and these cross-the-middle routes. And Cortez Allen, I'm more and more convinced each passing week that he was a panic extension. They didn't want to have to deal with the public outcry if another cornerback got away in free agency like Keenan Lewis did. And he has shown absolutely nothing. And then, of course, you've got Bryce McCain and Antoine Blake and, you know, Mike Mitchell. Still, has Mike Mitchell made one impact play yet? I mean, none that I can think of. And Troy, I think Troy was a little more active. But this team still, they've only got one interception, which was basically a jump ball to Cortez Allen by himself, and then they've got two fumbles. I mean, they're not getting turnovers either.
Well, and you know what? And that kind of leads me into our next point, is you had put up an article on the site talking about how, you know, where the Steelers are at the end of September, I guess at the quarter point of the season, if you will. You know, for as many bad things as they are doing right now, you know, with the penalties and, you know, the lack of takeaways, the lack of sacks, lack of pressure, you know, so many things. Let's just start with the offense here and see if we can find maybe some good things about this team. You know, you mentioned here about Le'Veon Bell. He's playing well. Antonio Brown, obviously, for all the dumb stuff he's doing, he's still in beast mode. The guy's phenomenal. Big Ben, overall, we know what we have with him. Heath is reliable. This team is not without talent, but they just can't seem to put it together. So with the offense right now, you have the stats listed here where they are pretty much ranked. They are total overall, they are fifth in offense, passing in eighth, rushing in fourth. So they are doing some good things. It just seems to be the epic collapse in the second half like usual.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, think of these numbers and consider, too, that they had the six quarters now out of 16 total quarters where they didn't score a touchdown. You know, look, I'm not a Haley guy. I haven't been a Haley guy. But this isn't necessarily all on him. I mean, he didn't drop that sure pass that Antonio Brown had on the flea flicker. It's not his fault that David DeCastro got blown into the backfield 3 yards on the most important play of the game. I mean, you know, so I can't fault him, you know, at will here. And like you said, they're scoring, they're averaging over 24 points a game, and they're moving the ball. So, you know, again, I don't want to sound like I'm praising him, but at the same time, I can't take him to the woodshed right now either, because things are happening, and we can talk about whether it's Ben that's doing this or what, you know, I don't care. But hey, good point right here, Matt, for us to take a quick break, though, I can tell you that. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape, or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we are back here talking Steelers football, Mark and Matt. Let's continue with the offense a little bit more. I think, you know, as you mentioned, this is not all on Todd Haley. You know, even if Snoop Dogg hates him to death, we all know that.
God.
You know, but the fact is, you're right, is I was more concerned about the defense to start the year than I was the offense, and so far we are right on the money. I mean, obviously you're right. Haley can't make DeCastro block, or you know, Brown catch a pass, or you know, whatever the case may be. So he's not perfect, and the Steelers do at times go to sleep, or you know, they have a stupid bonehead play call at the wrong time. But overall, I mean, if a Steelers offense is ranked overall fifth in the league, that's not too bad, really. I mean, you know, they're able to do a lot of things. They have a lot of weapons. You know, it's youth all over this unit right now. I mean, you know, there's a handful of veterans, and everybody else is young. So I like where they're going with this. But the thing on defense, I am way more concerned still, obviously, about the defense, about LeBeau, about this unit in general with injuries. You know, Shazier, I believe, is going to be out again. Ike Taylor's still out. You know, there's just so many things that are kind of snowballing with this unit right now, with injuries in the secondary, with lack of pressure, you know, the linebackers not getting the sacks again. There's so many things that is wrong here. And I love LeBeau as much as anybody, and it seems like any time anyone criticizes LeBeau, everybody jumps down your throat saying, oh, he's the godfather of the zone blitz, and he's the greatest thing ever, and I get it. LeBeau is a Hall of Famer. Steelers love him. They're never going to fire him. He'll leave when he's ready. That's just the way it is. But this 34, the way that that it needs to be run, you've got to have the personnel to do it, and they don't have the personnel in the secondary to cover anybody, and they don't have the pass rush to do it.
No, and here's my biggest problem is that he has been unwilling to adjust, at least to this point. Now, I did see a few new creative wrinkles the last 2 weeks, but he still has these corners 10 yards off. He still has them with the classic tackling the catch. You know what? If the talent isn't there, then sometimes you have to adjust your system to fit that talent. And I see other coordinators are able to do this all the time, and he just doesn't do it. And Mike Tomlin obviously doesn't force him to do it. You know, so we are stuck with our traditional base. We're stuck with our traditional specialty packages and the nickel and the dime. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, they went right down the field on us on Sunday, that 41-yard pass play to Lewis Murphy, I think it was, and we're playing a three deep. Linebackers didn't get deep enough. The D-line didn't get any pressure. I mean, you know, again, I can't fault LeBeau if the guys aren't executing, but at the same time, give these guys an opportunity to do something that they do well rather than have them constantly doing the same thing over and over. I mean, it's a whole definition of insanity type thing. And, you know, I saw a tweet tonight from Scott Kazmer, who I believe he writes for Football Outsiders, and is out of Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. He mentioned that the Steelers, since 2007, have given up more game-winning points with 40 or less seconds left than any other team in the league since 2007. And I think it was 11 times we've blown leads with under a minute to go. I mean, that's just not a coincidence. It you know, I don't know. I'm frustrated with it, and I'm rambling, so I'll just turn it back over to you.
Yeah, it really is, because every time they get a lead and any time they play well in the first half, something happens and they collapse in the second half, whether it's for the whole half, whether it's for the opening drive in the second half, whether it's the last couple of minutes when everybody just goes to sleep, or they get full of themselves, or they just go into stupid mode and they give up plays and drives when they shouldn't. So is it maybe it's clock management, it's just inexperience. There's so many things that happen with this team late in games that should not happen, you know, that championship teams do not do. And you know, this team can talk all at once about its rich tradition and proud history and we're winners and we're a city of champions and all that. Well, like I said before, we have been, you know, a city of losing, a city of giving up late leads to teams, regardless of we're inferior to them or not. There's this, and this whole, you know, right now the defense, It's pretty much middle of the pack. You know, it's 17th overall, 20th in passing, 16th in rushing. Last week Moats was starting and Harrison was retired. Now Harrison's playing in the final couple minutes and Moats is on the bench. You know, you bring in these free agents, you bring in draft picks, they get hurt, and then the free agents that you bring in to help. When the guys get hurt, they're on the bench in favor of a guy who can't jump back in pass protection and is only a decent run stopper anymore. I mean, there's things like that where you hold on to these old tendencies of bringing back old players and the same old defense that everybody knows, and you know that you can't get a pass rush on, and you just week in and week out, it's the same story, and I'm so tired of it because, right, I mean, it's been to the point in the last couple of years and this year so far where I don't expect them to hold on to a win, and I'm almost surprised when they do.
Well, yeah, I'm right with you. And, you know, going back to your point about, you know, with say bringing back Kiesel and Harrison, you know, I mean, Harrison was laying on his freaking couch a week ago, and now here he is on the most important drive. And I will say, he did play pretty well against the run, but outside of that, he didn't have anything in the stat sheet. No tackles, no quarterback pressures, nothing of even remotely close to it. But the other thing too. Where was Brett Kiesel? This guy is supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to be this guy they brought back to guide the defense, to be the leader, the emotional, vocal guy. You know, did he say anything prior to this game? You know, say, guys, we have a horrible habit of playing down to the competition. We're, you know, by God, we're not going to let it happen again. And I'm not putting it all on Kiesel. But if that's the reason that he was brought back, you know, then what's going on? I mean, is he just there to get some snaps? I mean, I think Stephon Tuitt, again, had a handful of snaps. Cam Thomas is in there on roller skates still, getting more snaps. This constant bring-in veterans stuff, it gets old after a while. You got to rebuild at some point, and it's like they just keep, you know, they're playing Jenga. You know, they're trying to tap out this piece and add in that piece at the same time, and sometimes they just don't fit.
Well, no, they don't fit, and you keep doing the same thing over and over, and, you know, it is the absolute definition of insanity watching this team try and play defense. Yeah. Every year, it's which veteran are we going to bring back, and why are we going to justify bringing them back, and, you know, which free agent acquisition are we going to sign and then never play, like a guy like Lance Moore or somebody like Moats, who was, you know, not a bad guy, but, you know, he's a guy who's at least in football shape. You know, I mean, you know, just to kind of, you know, go over to Lance Moore for a second here. What's the deal with the dude? I mean, there's rumors that he's in Tomlin's doghouse. I mean, there's so many things going on right now. I mean, the guy's a veteran player. Is he really that bad that we can't have him on the field?
Well, here's what I think it is. They claim he's not as good a blocker as Brown. Now, one of the numbers, I think Mark Cabali from the Trib had this, that when Brown was on the field, I want to say they ran 12 times for 60-some yards. When Moore was on the field for running plays, they ran 4 times for 11 yards. Well, that's not exactly a great sample there. You know, I mean, you're talking about 8 more rushes and you know, who knows what the situations were. But I guess it leads me to my bigger question. If you knew he wasn't a great run blocker, why did you go out and get him if you weren't going to use him? I mean, this guy was supposed to be the replacement to Jericho Cotchery. And if not that, maybe even a number two if Marcus Wheaton didn't catch on. But now he's gotten one snap in week 3. He got, I think, 12 snaps in week 4. I mean, Justin Brown, again, he's a nice blocker, but he dropped a pass or two again this week. I mean, why can't he get a shot? I don't know, and nobody seems to really speak to it other than it's the blocking issue, and I don't know that I buy it.
Well, I don't think I'd buy it either, because if your scouts were doing anything, they would see that, you know, I mean, if he can't block now, he couldn't block last year or the year before that. So, you know, there shouldn't be anything new. I mean, you know, either you can block or you can't. Maybe he can pick up Haley's offense. I don't friggin' know, but blocking is blocking. So, but you know, it's something I wonder about. You know, maybe he'll continue to get more snaps now. He did get significantly more in week 4. Maybe they'll ease him back in. I don't know, but it's players like that. And keeping guys like Harrison in the game when maybe they shouldn't be for various reasons late. You know, the whole the veteran leadership thing is not panning out right now. You know, your free agent acquisitions are doing next to nothing. So, you know, there's just so many things going on with this team, and the season's not over yet, obviously. You know, we're 4 games in. Yep. We have a team coming up in Jacksonville that we absolutely positively should beat, and, you know, we should beat by double digits. at the very minimum, this should not be a close game. And you know, as we, you know, let's just kind of talk about that for a couple minutes before we wrap it up. Obviously, a team the Steelers should beat. What do you see coming into this game? And, you know, like I think I said, mentioned earlier, you know, are you going to be happy if the Steelers win by 10 points? Or, you know, is it still going to feel like there's still issues here?
Well, you know, number one, they just need a win because, you know, you've got Cincinnati coming off the bye is 3-0. Baltimore's 3-1 with a game up on the Steelers because they beat them. You know, so a win just for those reasons is important, and regardless of how they get it, you take it. But there's no question that if they go to Jacksonville and they struggle, then I think it just continues to open the Pandora's box of problems. And let's face it, if they go down there and lose, oh my gosh, I can't even fathom it. We know what Dick LeBeau's record is against rookie QBs the first time he faces them. He's basically only lost once out of like 20 or 25 games, and so now he's going to be going up against Blake Bortles, and I thoroughly expect a victory. But Matt, I couldn't tell you if it's going to be 30-3 or 16-13. I don't know because all of a sudden I can't figure this team out.
Well, you know what? I'm right with you, but I haven't been able to figure this team out for the last couple of years now. So, I mean, obviously a win is a win. You have to get a win, and at the end of the season, you know, most people don't question how you got your wins. All they count is the W. So, you're right. And obviously, they have to win this game. You know, but at the same time, you're right. You don't want to see them struggle. There's no reason they should struggle. You know, if anything, right now they should be so embarrassed and pissed off at themselves that they should want to take everything out on Jacksonville that they can and just annihilate them the way that good teams do against inferior teams. And, you know, I realize it's the NFL and anything can happen, excuse me, on any given week. I get it. But when you're a team like the Steelers are, this is the time when this is a team that you should beat. You're in kind of a cake part of your schedule, if there is such a thing in the NFL anymore, you know, with teams like Jacksonville coming up, Cleveland, you know, and then you get into some tougher games with Houston and Indy coming up. So it's absolutely imperative that they win this game this week and at Cleveland, you know, before some tougher games come. I just want them to get out there and just do what they're supposed to do. Stick it to Jacksonville, get out with a win, and move on, and let's try and right the ship.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, as you said, win the game first and then, you know, let things take care of it. But at the same time, I'll say this too, Matt. Let's look for improvement in terms of penalties. We need to see less penalties and hopefully less dumb penalties at the same time.
Yep, you're exactly right. That's what I'm looking for. You know, whoever scores touchdowns this week, you know, hand the ball to the official, do a spike, a high five, and get the hell off the field. You know, if we actually happen to get an interception or a fumble recovery, don't dance around and do something stupid. Just get off the field. I mean, let's act like we've been there, even though we haven't lately, right, and actually do something professional and make this game count and get out with a win. But with that, let's wrap this up now. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. Be sure and check out our sponsor, Body Tech Gym in Pittsburgh in the North Hills. They are definitely cool people to work with, huh, Mark?
Absolutely. Get your butt in there, whether your butt's in shape or if it's like mine and it's not even close, get in there ASAP. Scott is the manager in there. You know, tell him you heard the show and you want to get hooked up there because they've got tons of different stuff, as I mentioned during the halftime intermission of our show. And you know, get back in shape. It's not one of these intimidating places where there's, you know, a bunch of steroided dudes walking around. I mean, it's just a place for anybody to go and work out.
Sounds like a plan. Be sure and check them out. You can see their image on the podcast here in the link to their website. So with that, let's hope that at this time next week we are talking about a win and getting this team back on track. But I'm not going to hold my breath. So let's just call it a night. Thanks, everyone, listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at SCBlitz or on SteelCityBlitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.